What's up, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night, November 11th, 2025. Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there who have served in the military and kept our great country safe and made it possible for us to do this podcast that we love doing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm Taylor Lee, Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch. You know us by now. Everybody in the house. Fellas, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, doing all right. How about you, Tan?
Yeah, doing all right. Not a fan of this cold weather, but it looks like we're going to get some warm weather coming through. So, but it is what it is. It's November. It's in the Midwest. So you never know. But Lynch, how are we doing up there in Northwest Indiana?
Oh, it's snowy. That's about it.
I hear you. But yeah, we got a lot to cover tonight. We got another football loss to discuss. Briefly. Got a couple basketball games to go over, football game to preview, a couple basketball games to preview. And there's a very good chance come Sunday, our basketball after Sunday night, our basketball team will have more wins than our football team.
Yeah, it's sad.
It is. It's very sad.
Last year it took until the second game for that to happen, but
yeah,
this year could be the third or the fourth.
And hopefully we're on. Hopefully basketball gets two this week. And well, if basketball gets two and football gets one, basketball will still have more. But yeah, Hopefully that's the scenario we're looking at. So big week. Boiler football travels to Washington for – I'm trying to find – they've played Washington 9 times, but haven't played them in Seattle since 1989.
Wow.
It's not been in our lifetime.
No, the two times we've played at Washington in our lifetime, 2000, of course, the Rose Bowl, and 2002 in the Sun Bowl, which, eerie enough, those two games ended with the same score, but the results flipped, 34-24.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been a while, but Washington leads the all-time series 7-2-1. So 4-2-1 out in Seattle. 1962, 7-7.
Oh, I would have guessed a little earlier than that.
Yeah, they played 1961 in Seattle. They played Seattle back-to-back years. Huskies won Purdue won 13-6 in the first matchup. So Purdue won the first matchup and the most recent in 2002.
Did teams fly back then? I mean, I assume they did.
This had to be on train.
Yeah.
This 60s, had to be a train ride out there. Yeah.
Or like I mean, they still had buses and stuff, but
yeah, no,
there was more rail back then. This would have been a train ride.
That's wild to think about taking train to go play.
There's no equipment manager either. So they're packing their equipment too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Barry and the staff should do. Tell these guys to pack their equipment. We're not taking a truck.
We're taking trade, boys.
Change of plans. We're not practicing the rest of the week. We're hopping on that Amtrak.
You have to earn the airfare from now on.
I guess it's a good thing if we're at their own airport. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be able to get a flight out there. It'd be delayed 8 times.
Yes, you're not kidding.
It could be delayed still because it's FAA coming in.
That's true. Should have left like today just to be safe.
The equipment manager is probably are leaving tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. If not, they probably left today.
Yeah, they could be leaving tonight, I guess. I'm trying to remember.
Where's the farthest? I mean, you would have stayed pretty local. I think you went to Illinois.
Yeah. Nebraska, maybe?
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if we played in Nebraska the 2 years. Penn State. Yeah, there was one trip I remember having to help pack the trailer, and it was like a Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know where that was, though. Yeah.
I don't even know if helping pack would help at this point. I would say, guys, you're bringing your own stuff. We're going to save money if you're not going to win some games.
Yeah, but who had the trivia tonight?
I did.
You want to give us a trivia question real quick before we
sure dive it is more basketball deep related? So I don't know if you want to wait until we cover basketball, but I can do it now.
My blind rankings basketball related too. So
I honestly,
if you want one,
I didn't even think about football. Okay, so obviously we know Purdue goes on the road to Alabama on Thursday. And so I went back and looked, so this is could be very wrong, but it was kind of based off my just my own research in Wikipedia, so take that for what it's worth. And I went back to 2010 and looked at every single Purdue non-conference loss. In total, we've had 37 since 2010, which isn't really that bad.
No.
Your question is, how many of those were true road game losses?
So not neutral side.
Correct.
Not tournament.
Of the 37 Ooh. Losses, how many were true road game? And then a second part, I just thought of this, which year had the most non-con losses?
That would have been 13. Per year.
For the first part, how many total losses again? 37?
37.
In 15 years. I'm going to go with 10 true road losses.
Okay.
I'm going to go higher, 14.
The answer is 9.
Ah, dang.
Yeah, so what I have is 2010 at West Virginia, which was played in January. 2011 at Xavier. 2012 at Eastern Michigan.
I remember that one. Oh, that was awesome.
2013, we didn't have any true road games. 2014, really? we had losses, but not,
yeah,
at least according to what I looked at.
Yeah.
2014 at Vanderbilt.
There's four. Oh, that game was awful. I remember watching that Wing Cetera on SEC Network.
Yep.
And, they had that guard that just lit us up. I don't remember his name.
Yep.
Yep.
2016 at Louisville.
That was a frustrating game.
2017 at number 15, Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything about that.
I remember that one.
2019 at Marquette.
Yep.
Yeah.
2020. Oh, God.
Yeah, we got you.
What'd you hear?
I heard 2020
at Miami. That was like one of the few road games we had that year.
I remember my dad blew up that game because we choked. If you guys remember, we choked a big lead.
Yeah.
And my mom and I are like, why are you, this game is going to cost us the tourney. It's going to, he was just going nuts. I just think, you know, it was the one, by that time, everybody was just fed up with being inside the house.
Yeah.
And it just, that was a tipping point for him. I don't know.
A little cabin fever. And then last year at number 15, Marquette.
So Texas wasn't on the road.
Sorry, 2018 was Texas and FSU. Sorry, I forgot.
Okay, because I was like, I remember Texas.
Carson had 40 and we still lost.
Yeah, because that was his homecoming.
Because Texas in 2019 is our last non-conference home loss.
Yep.
They said that the other day on the telecast, which is crazy. Crazy. But
so you didn't fact check 2013, right?
I can pull it up again, right? Actually, I had it up.
The only reason I wonder is because that team was horrendous because we went through the starting five.
Right. Because
we won at Clemson that year. Yep. I remember DJ Bird went nuclear at Clemson.
Yep. Let's see here.
I don't even remember the second part of your question.
It was which year had the most, which year had the most non-conference losses. Yeah. So 2013, we did not have a road loss in an non-con.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We had. I'm not going to give the answer yet, but
I'm going with the 2012-2013 season. So 2012 would be my answer.
I'll go 2020. I thought 2013, but if you're saying that's not the case.
Well, so what's your answer, Lynch?
I would say stick with 2013 because that's what I thought.
2013. Okay. Hold on. I got to count here because I thought I had my answer and I lost it.
So I can think of three off the top of my head in 2012.
So I think, by my count, Tanner's right with 2012 because we lost. Do you remember the first loss we had, Tanner, that year?
Belmont.
Was it Belmont?
No. Bucknell.
Bucknell at home.
Bucknell. And then we lost to Villanova and Oregon State.
So pardon me on this one. That's the season I'm talking about because that was a
pretty good question. Oh, okay, yeah.
13 would have been the Big Ten portion of that year.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah. Because we lost to Villanova on a stupid elbow call and then lost the next night to Oregon State.
Yep. Can you guess who else we lost that year? So we had six. 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, six.
Eastern Michigan.
At Eastern Michigan, yep.
So that's four. Xavier.
Yep. At home.
Yep. I remember we shot so bad that game. Yep. Oh. I remember I took one of our friends who's an IU fan, and he even said, I'm an IU fan, and even I gotta say Purdue's getting hosed by these refs. That was bad. No, we won at Clemson in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Who the heck would have been the other team?
I'll give you a hint if you want one.
Sure.
It was neutral, and it was against one of two teams.
Indeed.
What?
Notre Dame.
Yeah. Ah, stupid Crossroads.
Crossroads Classic. They were number 22 at the time. So that was.
Yeah.
Runner-up was 2014. We had 1, 2, 3, 4. We had 5 losses in 2014. So 2014, 2015. Well, so that was the PJ.
That was – we lost to Gardner-Webb. We lost to North Florida.
Yep.
We lost to – this might be wrong. Was it Kansas State?
Yep. Maui.
Yep.
In Maui.
Oklahoma State.
That was the year before.
Ah, Marcus Smart. Okay.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, so you got Kansas State, North Florida, Gardner-Webb.
Yeah.
We talked about one of these games already.
Yeah. Villanova?
Nope. It was one of the true road games.
Man. Vanderbilt.
Yep, at Vandy. I can't believe you're missing this last one.
I know.
Just think.
Butler?
Nope.
Notre Dame then.
Notre Dame again.
Yeah. Because the following year, 26.
The following year, that was our only loss was to Butler because that was when Purdue was like top 10. Because I remember I was watching that game because it was right before I graduated. I was watching the game at Harry's and we were like number 9, hadn't lost yet. And we lost. That was our only non-conference loss.
And then Butler. The following year, we finally beat Notre Dame and that stupid thing. Notre Dame was ranked and we were down big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Came back and won.
Yeah. Biggie went off. Yeah.
Yeah. Vince had a good game. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Those early years were, I remember the one that I totally forgot about was 2010 was the Richmond game. Cause that was the same day as the Bucket game. Cause that was in Chicago too.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was in
Hoffman's Estate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we lost at West Virginia.
Cause it was at the Allstate Arena, wasn't it?
No, it was in, I don't think so. It was in,
I thought it was.
Might've been the Wintrust. I get all those small arenas confused in the Chicago area anymore.
Because I saw the name of the arena on, it was on Wikipedia, so take it for what it's worth. But I was like, I don't know what that place is. Let me see here. It was the Sears Center. It held. The attendance was 2,800 people.
Yeah, the Sears Center. Yeah, I know. Yep.
In Hoffman Estates because we beat Southern Illinois the day before.
Because it's been renamed now. Now it's
I don't think
it's something else. I believe
it's now called Now Arena.
Now Arena. Yeah.
I have never heard of that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's other years. Obviously, I mean, there was. From 2020 until 2024, I didn't have to even look up the non-conference losses because we didn't have any. 2018, we lost to Virginia Tech on neutral floor, lost at Florida State, lost at Texas, lost to Notre Dame. 2017, we lost to Tennessee.
I hated that team.
2017.
Through the non-conference. I hated that.
2018, yeah.
And then they became one of my favorites after McKenzie's. I'm like, gosh.
2017, our only loss in the non-con was at that, was it like the Bahamas where we lost to Tennessee and Western Kentucky? Then we played Arizona. And the
breaks off of Arizona.
Yeah, because we thought it was going to be Arizona Purdue in the championship game. And it was for
who
was
seventh place, baby. Seventh place. And we got hot, and then we didn't lose to Wisconsin in mid-February.
Yeah.
We lost to Villanova. Biggie senior year at home.
Yeah. Last year's was definitely the one where we lost to all like really good teams. We lost to at number 15 Marquette. We lost to 17 Texas A&M in Indy and lost to number 2 Auburn down in was it Birmingham. Was it Birmingham? I think we lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Neutral.
Yeah. Neutral. We got blown out all three games.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'll do my blind rankings. We can talk basketball first. I mean, we're in basketball. We can talk football later. Okay, where did my blind rankings list at? Because it's got to do with non-conference victories, which we've had a lot of good ones over the years. So I want you guys to rank these 1 through 5 according to your favorite one. So your favorite number one, least favorite number 5. This was tough to only pick 5. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of good ones. We've been pretty spoiled. I'm not gonna go chronological because you might start thinking in your head.
Yeah.
So we will start off with the 23-24 season, beat number 4 Marquette 78-75 to win the Maui Invitational.
Man,
I remember this, but it's gonna be 4 on my list. I know where it was, but this wasn't my favorite. I remember being on Thanksgiving. I was off that week, so it was like perfect timing. Prime time watching. Edie dominated.
Lance Jones hit that full quarter. Yep. If not for that, game's going to overtime.
Yeah, I was on my honeymoon. We were in Italy, and so I like in 6 hours ahead. Let alone the difference between Italy and Hawaii. I can't.
Yeah,
I think it was like 11-hour difference. So I had to follow my phone. I can't even remember if I was able to even like follow the whole thing. But just because of where the team, like obviously what they were coming off of in terms of losing to a 16 seed, that was kind of the first step in what I was hoping was going to be a dominant seed. So I'm gonna put that one at 2. Maybe it sucks not being able to watch it, but I think it was 2 just because like it's how that tournament was loaded.
Yeah.
So they
beat Tennessee and.
Yep. And, I think he had Kansas in that tournament too. I think so. Like you had just
it was ridiculous,
the sheer star power that came out of there, and the fact that Purdue came out on top. Yeah, I'll put that at 2.
21-22 season, beat number 5 Villanova 80-74 in a Hall of Fame tip off. So this was the championship game of it.
Yeah,
not the one I thought you were going to pick.
I thought he was going to the other one too. Same. I'm not going to lie, that I was going to throw that at number 1.
Carolina
same.
One?
Same.
Yeah.
God, it just pisses me off that team only has this
trophy. I know.
That team has so damn much potential.
I know.
It has nothing to show for it.
I know.
I'm going to put that one at 1 just because it just kind of and kind of combine it, unless you have that game, which I'm going to be mad if you do.
You talk about the Carolina game?
Yeah,
it's not on here. No, okay. I didn't. But
because that one was awesome, just because of just the fact that it was like Carolina was obviously the bluest of blue bloods beating them. But then you turn around and beat a really good Villanova team, and kind of put our stamp on it of, hey, this team's different than what we were used to and
was different.
Was different, yeah.
I remember coming out thinking, man, Caleb First could be an NBA player someday. I mean, he looked that good as a freshman.
Yeah.
But
I remember that game was when Zach had a play where he like grabbed the ball, like did a spin move and then like dunked it like in a very fluid motion. It was just like, whoa. Like, this kid, like obviously like we saw what he did the year before. It was like, this kid's improved. And this is not like, he's not a big lumbering, gargantuan human. I mean, he obviously was, but he had
was Isaac. Wasn't Isaac.
Right. Yeah. And I was just like, holy crap, this guy is. And you threw that with obviously Ivy's athleticism, and it was something crazy.
Yeah. 22-23, Phil Knight legacy beating number six Gonzaga 84-66.
Beating Gonzaga.
That beat was West Virginia second game. Before.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm afraid you might have some older ones in here, so I'm going to throw this one at five.
I'm going to put this one at four.
Four.
Just because I remember all I wanted was just to beat West Virginia just so we could get into the winner's bracket and play someone good. Because, again, going into that year, just like, we have no idea what this team's going to be like. You just need to, you know, figure it out and just play some good teams, just kind of see where we're at. And lo and behold, we just kind of ran through the whole tournament.
Yeah, I remember after that game, I'm like, this Smith kid and this Lawyer kid, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got 3 and 5 left.
And Lynch, you got what left?
Two and three.
All right, we'll throw it back a little bit. We'll throw the clock back a little bit. 09-10 season, beat number 9 Tennessee 73-72, the Paradise Jam Championship.
That was the Chris Kramer swim. Yeah. Ooh.
I remember this game so well because it was on Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Network, not even Fox Sports One.
Yeah.
And that Tennessee team was a bunch of grown men, but we just fought. And Robbie was awesome.
Who's on that Tennessee team? I'm trying to remember.
I can picture some guys in my head. I can't think of their names.
So it was 2010.
Yeah. Oh man, they had number 5 with a headband.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had some like forwards that were just men.
I'm looking it up now.
Yeah,
I've got you right here.
I think of those guys' names.
They had Wayne Chisholm.
Ah.
So they had Ronaldo Woldridge, Bobby Mays, Wayne Chisholm, Emmanuel Ngaidu, Michael Hubert, Quinn Cannington, Skylar McBee, Kenny Hall, Melvin Goins, Stephen Pearl, Cameron Tatum, Josh Bone, JP Prince, Scotty Hobson, Brian Williams.
Scotty Hobson was the only one that made pros, I think, out of that.
I think the first guy Webby named did.
I don't think Chisholm made the pros.
I thought he did. That's who I was thinking, though, in my head.
Yeah.
I think he wore number 4.
He wore number 4.
Oh. Four.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put this at 3 because I just don't remember much.
Yeah,
I'll put that at 5. Yeah, I remember the Kramer move. I remember being really pumped, obviously because we won. But yeah, it was obviously my fandom was a little different back then.
Yeah,
I want those uniforms back though.
Yeah,
great in person, awful on TV. And lastly, another one from the Phil Knight legacy, beating number 8 Duke 75-56.
Yeah, that one's 3. Again, just kind of again going up against, we hadn't beat Duke in quite a while, had we?
Nope. Since Alaska.
Good, 2004 around there.
Yeah.
And again, we kind of just took it to them.
Really did.
That was a great sports weekend because
it was amazing.
We won the bucket and clinched the spot in the Big Ten championship.
Our last Big Ten road win, fellas.
Yeah, that was an awesome win. Again, and then it was just like, holy crap! Like,
yeah,
this team better than
who has arrived.
Yeah,
wow.
It was like no longer was it a, you know, like being number one was a cool fluke the year before. It was like we may be number one again, and we were. Were we number one after that weekend, or was it after? I can't remember when we.
If got not, we were real close.
Yeah. So I know we weren't ranked. I don't think, right. Or we might have been.
I'm trying to think because the Big Ten tip off week would have been the following week, right?
Let's see here.
Because it was that following Monday, or it was the next following Monday, so 2 weeks from then.
'22-'23 schedule.
I think it would have been that following Monday because that's when we went.
Ooh, Michigan's down 7 with 4 minutes left.
Oh, wow. They were up like 17.
Wake Forest.
Yeah, because then we went to, so we followed that up with like 3 days later having to go to Florida State. So, and for the ACB, one by 10.
I missed that game. I remember I was a different event that night.
I had a late work thing and I was like watching it on my computer.
This morning, just falling the score on my phone. After the field night, I wasn't even nervous for that game. Yeah. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. I think we were, so we were 24 through that tournament. Then we were number 5 at Florida State and we became number 1 when we played Davidson, which was,
oh yeah,
that was an ugly game.
Yeah,
because we had at Nebraska, which that was where Lawyer had his one dunk he's had in his career.
Yeah.
But yeah,
good stuff. Yeah, we've been pretty darn fortunate. My dad and I were talking the other day on the phone. He's like, "When's the last time we weren't a top 5 seed in the NCAA tournament?" You have to go back to the 2014-15 season. We were at 8-9 game. Yeah. Now, the 19-20 season, we weren't going to make the tournament unless we got hot in the Big Ten tournament, but it didn't happen. So, yeah, it's we've been pretty darn fortunate. It's try not to take it for granted, but
yeah,
you know,
it's crazy.
Big one Thursday night. Boilers are 2-0, I should say, after beating Evansville and Oakland. Slow start in both games. Especially Oakland, but took care of business. Finally hit some shots in the second half down the stretch. I think Oakland's a good little team, except they did get smacked at Michigan, but it's college sports, college basketball, college football. You got to bring it every night, every day. Crazy things happen. So I'm not worried about this team, even though despite only a 10-point win. I mean, they are playing without Trey Kaufman-Wren. They did play without Trey Kaufman-Wren, who's a top 10 player in America, in my opinion. So hopefully he's good to go Thursday night down Tuscaloosa, 7 o'clock, ESPN2. Alabama's now ranked 8th. Purdue's now ranked 2nd. They were jumped by Houston. Alabama had a great win at St. John's over the weekend, who was ranked 5 at the time. Looked really good doing so. I watched bits and pieces of it. But historically, Purdue's played Alabama quite a bit in the last two decades. Historically, 10 times, Purdue leads the series 7-3. They won the last two matchups last year in West Lafayette, 87-78. 2 years ago up in Toronto, 92-86. Lost in 2011-12 season.
That was a neutral game.
65-56 down Puerto Rico. Won in Mackey in the 10-11 season. 66-47. Very memorable game. Last time we've played in Tuscaloosa, won in the 09-10 season, 73-65. We were down big, and Chris Kramer actually took over offensively the last 10 minutes of that game. And that was the night they announced right before tip that Mark Ingram won the Heisman Trophy. So the place was buzzing.
Yeah, Robbie says that was the loudest they got all night.
Alabama beat us in the Elite Eight of the NIT in the 2000-2001 season in double overtime, 85-77. I remember my dad was telling me he was at the game. We had a decent lead with like a minute and a half left. I want to say to our band started playing New York, New York. And we choked it away. They thought we were going to the Final Four of the NIT in New York. Oh,
God.
Before that, beat Alabama, I believe, in the NCAA tournament in 93-94 season, 83-73. Beat them in Tuscaloosa, but it says March 19th, 78-79 season, 87-68. Maybe that was an NIT game they hosted, maybe. Beat them in West Lafayette in 77-78 season, 82-65, and lost to them in Tuscaloosa, 76-77 season, 97-80. So played them 3 years straight there in the 70s for some reason.
I realize we played them so much.
Yeah. Now we just want them in football. So maybe not so much.
I think that actually, I wonder how cheap this, do you think tickets would be cheap if we played them there?
Football?
Yeah,
I don't think any Alabama tickets cheap, no matter if they're playing Purdue or the Citadel.
I mean, that's kind of what we are as a Citadel. So that's
come on, not that bad. Not good, but not that bad. And the Boilers also host Akron Sunday at 7:30.
It's a late game. It's a late game on Sunday.
I can't find any history. I'm sure we've played them sometime. But
is John Gross still there?
Yeah.
Is he really? That was a joke.
He is. Let me look it up. Joke. Unless he got it different.
No, I don't think he's gotten hired anywhere.
Yeah, let me look it up. I think Gross is still there. John Gross. Yes, he is still.
Wow.
Still
Akron. Wow. Wow.
Awesome.
They're a pretty good team last year, if I remember correctly.
I thought the Nathan Turner last year.
Yeah.
It was your last year, year before. Yeah, they're usually fighting. You know, the MAC, it's so weird. Usually they don't get any teams in besides whoever wins their tournament. You would think they'd get like two teams in, but very rarely do they. So they're usually fighting right there in the semifinals or the finals of that tournament. So should be a good little test. But Thursday night, though, it's going to be – Bruce got to play pretty good. It's going to be a rocket environment down there, and Alabama's no slouch. Hopefully TKR can play. Wearing the new black script jerseys that they unveiled today.
Look sharp.
It's very sharp. So I think it comes down to, of course, Bruce got to make shots, but can't turn over the ball. On the road, that's a big thing. I mean, this game's not too—it's not too big of a moment for these guys.
No,
the captains have been through everything, so I'm not worried about that. But
can we make our free throws?
Yeah, I think so.
I hope so because I think
Friday night. What this is going to come down to too is just also contain the dribble defense. Mm-hmm. You know, it hasn't been great the last two games, and obviously rebounding. Bama can run, but I think y'all pretty much get out and run too, as we've kind of seen.
Right.
And I think going back to like you said about like getting up for, I mean, probably not good, but it kind of felt like the last two games, they were just like, all right, let's just show up sort of thing. We'll be fine. Right. Which got a little dicey there for a little bit, sure. But I think it's definitely a game that they'll be up for, especially if TKR plays.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's obviously, it should be a really awesome environment. I mean, Oates is a hell of a coach. They obviously definitely probably want to beat us just because we've got their number the last two years. That game 2 years ago up in Toronto was incredible. Even the game last year was really fun to be at in Mackey. It's kind of where CJ Cox kind of made his mark on the season. So hopefully we can have a similar performance.
Yeah, and I'm not the biggest Nate Oates fan from a personality standpoint. He's a heck of a coach. But I like how he challenges his team with tough
games,
similar to Matt Painter. It's a good approach. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Feel comfortable if Brayden scores over 20.
Well, he's
17-1 if he scores over 20. So yeah. I think
we have, what game did we lose when he did that?
Was it Houston last year?
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah.
So he went off, and that was the only loss that he's ever went off on that we've had so far.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be I try not to put too much into the November games, good or bad. I try not to overreact because it's kind of like one of those wake me up when it's January type things. But
yeah,
when you're playing a gauntlet of non-conference, you got to take some things away from it.
Yeah.
No, these games count. I mean, you need quad one wins.
I know. Yep. I know. Yeah. I
was texting last year about the Mississippi win. You were like,
I know. You were dead right about that one.
You're like, this doesn't matter, and then lo and behold, March. You're like, oh,
you were dead. You were dead right. No, I know it's would be a really good quad one, but like, I guess what I'm saying is, if Purdue loses, I'm not gonna freak out because I think it's gonna be very, very tough to win down there on Thursday night.
That's quad ones opportunities they're gonna have though, come like January, February.
They'll be plenty in the Big Ten.
Even the non-conference alone, you still – I mean, if Wake Forest ends up beating Michigan tonight.
They're up 3 with 2.5 to go.
I mean, you play Wake Forest, then you're going to play either Memphis or Texas Tech. I don't know what Memphis is about, but Texas Tech's going to be pretty good this year. Iowa State, they're supposed to be pretty good. Marquette didn't look good against Indiana, but who knows.
I forgot we play Marquette this year.
Home and home with them again. I'm so sick of playing them. In Tennessee, who's now home and home starting next year.
Thank God that ain't football.
We own them in football. What are you talking about? We also had a lot of pros on that team, but they didn't play. A lot of two of the pros didn't play that game.
I think they're probably, Evan, you're right. I was counting up. I think there's going to be plenty because I bet IU's going to probably be a quad one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were quad one last year, I'm pretty sure.
Were they in the tournament time came around? I didn't think they were. I thought they were quad two.
Maybe they definitely were probably quad two when we played them at home, but they were definitely quad one on the road.
Yeah.
Which we lost, so that really didn't matter. Michigan game side up. But I mean, I think the top half of the Big Ten will be pretty solid. So they're just gonna beat up on each other. That's just that's the Big Ten typically does.
Yep. So score prediction Thursday night, MVP.
I'll go Boilers.
Could do a spicy bold take, I guess, if we're gonna
hear that over. I'll do that. Boilers 92-88.
Woo.
MVP. I'll go TKR.
Oh man, I thought you were going to be on the same wavelength as me on this one. Never mind.
And then spicy bold prediction. Man, spicy bold prediction. I'm gonna say Meyer scores double digits.
Feel pretty good about Purdue's chances if he scores double digits, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
My brain's telling me Alabama's going to win this game, but my heart's telling me Purdue's going to win this game. I'm interested to see what the line is when it comes out. Yeah. But I'm going with
Bama by 6, I bet.
Really? You think?
I think just because of the way Purdue played against Oakland, the fact that Purdue got double the amount of first place votes as Houston and still was behind them, because someone voted Purdue, like, I think the lowest someone voted Purdue was like 10th. So that really dragged it down.
Is it Rob Jones?
Probably.
Probably Indiana 15th.
Or 10. I think that'll play into it, and then obviously depending on if TKR plays or not, but yeah. I think you get three. I mean, you get three for being home, anyways. They'll give Bama a slight edge.
I'm gonna go Purdue 84, Alabama 80. My MVP's, I'm gonna go Oscar Clough.
There you go.
In my bold prediction, he goes 15-15.
Ooh. I like it.
I think we're all on the same wavelength. I'm going to go Purdue 85, Bama 78. I think the MVP is going to be Braden, and he's going to have a 45-5 game.
Say that again, sorry.
He's going to drop 40.
I'm 45.
No, 45-5. So 40 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists.
Oh, I thought you meant 45 and
no.
I come out. Hell.
I hope he get more assists.
No, I think he's got to take over. I think he takes over.
Good Lord.
He is Naismith.
He's going to get that triple-double soon.
He will.
Yeah.
He's the first one since Joe Barry. That's mind-boggling.
That's wild.
I bet he'll do it against Kent State or Akron.
Yeah.
More likely Kent State because he's not good.
That poor athletic program across the board just not too good right now.
But I think if he drops 40, it's going to be nuts.
Well, yeah, especially your final score. I mean, you're saying he's going to score about half of his points.
He's going to be unconscious is what I have a feeling.
All right. It should be fun. Should be a fun one. It's definitely an early test. I mean, from here on out, besides Akron, well, hopefully Akron and Kent State, every other game's going to be a pretty good test. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Any other thoughts on basketball before we
talk about stay healthy? You hope to see some shots fall early. Yeah. I'd like to see, obviously, defensive end kind of pick it up a little bit. But it was nice to see. Was it Clough and Jacobson have like 10 combined blocks already for the year? It's like that is like an insane number compared to last year.
Yeah, I'd like to see Jacobson be a little more confident. I know he's still getting his feet under him, but he's going to be a key for the year as a reserve, assuming he doesn't take over the starting center spot. And we're gonna need him big time. So
I want to see if Murphy's actually a spark plug off the bench. That's one.
He was against Oakland.
He was. So I wonder if he can make that consistent and come out and just hit. He's got a pretty great shot. I know we talked about that last week. It's very fluid. Love to see him continue.
It'll be interesting to see how TKR gels with the group. And then how that affects the rotation. Of course, I'm coming back and whose minutes get cut. I mean, I think we're all pretty sure Jack Minter's minutes are going to get cut, but does it cut into anybody else's too? It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see Painter's rotation in a big time game with his squad. So
again, he'll be filling out. It's just, again, let's not read the message boards and life's ending.
Some of the people, I wish I could have talked to him in person Friday night, because my goodness, he wouldn't have known Purdue won the game.
Right.
It was kind of ridiculous, but oh well. Oh well. Everybody's just starving to win at this point. Just,
and like, again, football being awful doesn't.
Exactly. That's what I meant. Starving to win. And let's be honest, everything going down in Bloomington right now is just not helping the fan base's attitude. Right. So,
yeah.
It's just not.
So. Just don't focus on it.
Oh, I know. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, I will admit it was embarrassing how ticked I was after the end of the IU Penn State football game. That was kind of embarrassing, but oh well.
Yeah. What's sad is when I knew they got the ball, I was like, they're going to win this game.
I don't know if you would have felt that way if you had been watching it, though. Yeah, like, probably. Just the not, way yeah. Penn State was pushing them around.
Yeah.
And then the kid made big throws, and he was getting his block knocked off every time he threw the ball too. But their wide receiver step, I mean, they do what good teams do. I mean, they came up big when the biggest moment. So credit to them. But the Boilers did not come up big in big moments on Saturday against the Buckeyes, losing 34-10. But we did have the lead 3-0 after the first quarter.
I took a picture.
He literally did, folks. Honestly, I felt like Ohio State treated this game a lot like Oregon treated the game last year. Didn't throw everything at Purdue, kind of took their foot off the gas at times. I mean, I thought Purdue did some good things, but just so outmatched across the board against a team like Ohio State. I mean, some of my takeaways, I thought the line play, I thought D-line against the run was pretty good. I thought the offensive line played pretty darn
good. There we go. There we go.
In the past, run game, we couldn't get anything going on. Yeah.
22 pass attempts, 0 sacks. Yeah,
that was pretty impressive. I thought they did good. Of course, defensive backs against Smith and even some of their other weapons.
Tate
didn't play, luckily.
Oh, sorry. Not Tate. Yeah.
Claire even. But Smith, I mean, I wasn't there. In person, I know maybe was he the best wide receiver you've seen in Ross A? Because at least on TV, he looked that way.
Yeah, I forgot he was number 4. I just forgot what his number he was. Like, one of the first place he was like, this kid, and then some wonderful Ohio State fan down the row, was talking trash to someone. They're like, number 4, that's Jeremiah. I was like, oh, that's Jeremiah Smith. That's right, it is him. He was incredible.
Like, he's a sophomore. It's ridiculous.
They were trying.
Yeah.
Stain's a freshman.
I know. And Bo Jackson's good. Tate, who didn't play, is good. Downs is good on defense. You know, they got 4- and 5-star linemen all over. It's just, it's abundance of riches. But, you know, I don't like Ohio State. Don't get me wrong, but I don't hate Ryan Day for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe because I couldn't stand Urban.
It's because I think it's also because Ohio State fans hate him. Michigan, so it's like, I kind of like this guy.
And we're recruiting his son, who's a quarterback. Yeah. Took his official visit at Purdue on Saturday. Maybe that's so another reason Ryan's like, you know, my son might be on this team. I'm going to be nice to Barry and the boys.
That's the thing, you could tell, like, they weren't like, they were just like, they're just doing what they needed to do, you know, just to get the – nothing crazy. I mean, yep. Saiyan's pass where Nunley picked it off was he was forcing it a little bit.
Yep.
But it was just like they weren't. I think that even like the Bull Sports guys were like I think they're just running stuff just put it on tape just to do it because they know they could. It's just like okay,
but they weren't running anything exotic on tape.
No, they weren't. No.
Because they don't want to let IU see that on tape or Michigan see
Michigan,
that
here. Yeah.
I mean, it's frustrating, but because the post game press conference, I don't know if either of you watched it.
Watched parts of it.
Did Tom's question in regards to is this team trying? I thought my feed went out and froze because Barry didn't respond. And I was like, what in the world is going on? He asked him about, is this team tough? And he literally said, we're making progress. And I was like, that is not what you want to hear.
He's being honest. I mean, you know, at this point, we're starting to see some players play that haven't played. Harris, the wide receiver, number 11. He hadn't seen any game action. They threw him in there the other day. I think you're going to start seeing some guys because you can play guys now and still redshirt them. You can play, you know, as long as they haven't played more than four games. So I think they're going to give guys opportunity to see what they can do. And also, maybe they know some guys are thinking about transferring or like on the edge if they don't play. Mm-hmm. So they're going to throw them in the deep end to see what they can do. I don't know.
I mean, even if Harris was – decide to play. I mean, it contradicts that they're saying like, hey, we're going to throw a bunch of young guys out here, but then they say you have to earn it and become the standard in practice. I'm like, I don't even know if there's a standard here because a guy that we took to, I thought would be the standard bearer of CJ Madden.
He just
doesn't even see the field.
Nah, he doesn't do anything when he's out there. Besides
walk out for coin toss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ahmad Branch, like a guy who was like where the heck's he been?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's very frustrating to hear all this speak about discipline and everything else and standard, and then you hear all these press conferences, even Shear say like that we're not even meeting the standard. And I'm like, well, what is your standard? And if you all brought in these players, like I understand they're a bunch of hodgepodge, but you brought in youth too. So if the youth isn't starting to hit this benchmarks, what are you guys building to?
Well, I guess that's one of my reasons of optimism. I think a lot of the good players we've seen are younger players this year. Mm-hmm. But can you retain them is the big thing.
Yeah.
But with that it comes inconsistent play.
Well, sure.
And are they going to say like, hey, brother, do I want to sit out here and be main target? Do I want to go somewhere else? Is, you know, we know Ryan Brown's not leaving. Probably Singleton is not leaving.
I wouldn't be. I mean, if Purdue's on just another quarterback, I don't know.
Yeah, just depend. I go so back and forth on like if Purdue should see what's out there. I mean, I think they should see what's out there at quarterback. But like to get really, really good, when you're gonna have to spend a lot of money.
Yep. But I mean, we see what happens when you get a good one. I mean,
100%.
Do you tell Garrett Odom to say like figure it out?
Barry didn't even want Garrett to come play at Purdue, but he chose to. I mean, he didn't want Garrett to. I mean, Garrett was committed to UNLV. I think he wanted him to stay there, but he wanted to go play for his dad or try to. Because Barry even said when he was asked about Garrett earlier this year, like, you know, that's going to be tough because when it comes time, if he's ready to play and I don't play him, I'm going to hear it at home from his mom. But if I do play him, he's not necessarily ready, then the locker room saying, oh, he's only playing because he's coach's son. Type thing. Yeah. So,
yeah. This is definitely a question more for in about 2 weeks, I guess, or 3 weeks. But do you think there's some staff turnover, specifically in the coordinator role?
Yes.
I think there'll be staff turnover. I don't know about coordinators, though.
I think yes. I think Henson's.
You think Henson's gone?
Yep.
He pissed me off Saturday.
There's calls that he has made this season that are just like, what in God's name, Green Earth, are you doing?
The when Purdue was moving the ball, I think it was on the drive they got the field goal, if I'm not mistaken.
It was
we're moving it well. Brown's in rhythm. They take him out, put Singleton in for third and three, and we all know what's going to do. Run up the gut. I mean, yeah. No creativity. You're running up a gut, up the gut against a team that you can't get any push against the with the run against. At least get creative. Try to run the outside, fake it, and throw it. No.
Yeah.
No, right up. Oh, that was hot after that.
Because going to the quarterback thing, it's like if there is a change in position, like maybe you can go find a coordinator that maybe has like a really good, like a good quarterback, and can you get almost like a package deal type thing?
True.
Like from a, you know, high level Mac, a high level, true, you know, American. I don't know, somebody like where like the guys, you know, there's some familiarities. So when he comes in, it's not a learning a whole new system type thing, true, where you can kind of like hit the ground running.
So I actually thought about this because that play Saturday.
I know you'd have.
I just did not want to text the group chat because I was just livid. Partially on Saturday. The cost of what it's going to take to say we're going to go toss a Henson to the curb. We're going to have to pay him. We're paying all the other coordinators. We're paying Walter's contract. And you're going to say this. Year two, I'm going to have all my players learn a different offense again. Mm-hmm. At that point, the cost, what's the right word for it? The future cost that you're going to incur in regards to getting up to speed is going to be higher now because you're telling either Brown or whatever quarterback come in and all those position groups to learn also said quarterback in chemistry. I think he probably will. Henson's probably going to be in the hot seat, but I also believe that there's pieces potentially, and there also might be a short lease. I don't know if Barry's ever called offense, but I mean, there's a reason why Henson did not. He only schemed out for Lincoln Riley the last 4 years. I mean, or 2 years, sorry, 2 years.
Barry seems to me like a loyal enough of a guy. He'll give everybody another year at least.
But also the offense has looked awful.
Oh, like, especially the last four games.
Yeah, that's just where it gets me. Is like, I get the loyalty and all that, but it's like you get to a point where it's like you don't want loyalty to cost you your job.
Well, you got to find playmakers. Like I was talking to my dad on the phone. I don't know if it was today, yesterday. I don't know. We were talking about Ryan Brown, and I'm like, Purdue's in a tough spot with him. I feel like because he hasn't shown he's good enough to win the close games, but he's most time not the reason they're losing the games either.
Mm-hmm. So, he's made like even he made some good throws and guys just dropped them like this.
Right.
They're just dropping passes.
And you know, I thought Brian Neubert brought up a great point on the podcast the other day talking about the Ohio State Purdue game. And like, when you look back in the years Purdue's beat Ohio State or challenged them, they always have a playmaker or two to take the attention of the defense. And you got to, you know, Rondell Moore, David Bell, Ryan Kerrigan, even on defense in 09. And we just don't have anybody that's a game changer, unfortunately. You know, even if Mockaby was healthy, I don't think at this point in his career, he was that type of player. I don't know how Purdue gets one of those or develops one of those, but they're going to have to. I mean, and you know, in our lifetime and really in Purdue history, Purdue's only as good as a quarterback. That's why I keep going back to Ryan Brown. Like, what are they doing? I still think he will be the starter next year, but we'll see. A lot of questions to be answered for sure.
That's why I pounded the like table. Like, let's stop getting away. Like, in this age, we're not going to be paid to pay for quarterbacks. It's true. And if they did, are they going to come to Purdue? Because it's not going to have the same lore as it did 15 years ago. So when I was pounding the table and you all like, stop it with the option, like, why not put a runner back there? Stop it
with the option.
We don't have to get under center. But there has to be like a pure running quarterback at this point. And at least get out the pitch man because the O-line can't hold their blocks, but at least get out in space, get RPOs running. I mean, we don't see that a lot. I mean, we try to set up the RPOs, but they're minimal gains. We can't recruit our best linemen in the state because they're either now go to IU over us, mm-hmm. but they're going out of state or they're going to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now in a point where I think you can't are you going to go out and find scout team people, like I was saying, and say, like, man, look what that tape was on scout team, man. That I think we could plug and play that.
Unless they're on the field, they're not getting scout team tape from another opponent. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot. This offseason is going to be critical moving forward.
Before we jump into the game, if we're here at the same spot, same record next year,
it's going to be bad, man.
Do we back up the Brinks truck, or do we now start picketing up upper athletic leadership? I wouldn't trust them making a new hire. Therefore, I'd say keep Barry.
They can't fire Barry after 2 years. You can't. You can't keep doing this.
I agree, but
if he goes 2-10 again next year, I mean, especially because next year's schedule is theoretically.
Yeah, they shouldn't go 2-10, but yeah, I think
you can't have the leadership make the third hire. the last two, and
I know, you know, if they do win two games this year, end up winning two games this year, and win two next year, God forbid, and they fire Odom. I mean, for one, they're gonna owe him a ton of money, and two, then you fire two consecutive coaches 2 years. Mm-hmm. What coach gonna want the job? Oh my God, if I don't get it done within 2 years, I'm out.
I think at that point you have to make the Board of Regents and Chang have to make a decision. Like, they're cleaning house up the top of the athletic department and redoing that. You're laughing, but why would you want them to make a third hire?
Oh, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want, if this does not go well, I would not want them to make it the third hire.
Because you're telling a new coach exactly what Tanner is saying. Like, here's another opportunity. I'm not counting.
I mean, like, it's, they made like too bad
together out. Though together, together. I got, yeah, right, what you're saying. Yeah. But Mobisky would be his fourth.
I'm talking when Grimes came in.
Well, fair enough.
So you're saying this, he's going to retire, so you're going to bring in an AD. God, and I hope it's not the one from LSU.
God, no.
You're probably going to have to wring the rag dry of coaches. Yeah. So it's probably going to be like Kevin Sumlin or someone like that. It's going to have to be offensive minded too, because you're not going to be able to sell, you know, a fan base back on a third defensive coach. I mean, heck, it could be a special teams coach. I would welcome that.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we're not sitting here a year from now and having these same discussions. Yeah.
If we are, I think all of us are just going to be tired of that leadership thing. Like, that is the problem.
Yeah.
And sure, basketball, like, basketball is the only, like, outlier.
And I think Matt's taking that on his own. I think he's kind of taking the ball and ran with it. Like, he's figured out his own stuff. Him and Shondell, and they figure out their own systems. Like, they don't probably need as much help. But football is your cash cow. Every single school got to figure it out.
And now women's basketball.
Yeah, that's a whole discussion for another day. But, like, in Webby, I know you've been to many, 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 many Purdue games, football games, over the years. And my dad said he's been going to games since the 70s. He's never seen, as many opposing fans as there was Saturday.
No. And I didn't know. It was, like, I saw pictures, like, from, like, the TV,
it was half red.
It looked worse on the TV than it was. Like, just like the red just stood out so much more on TV than it did in person. It was, I walked in from the concourse and was just like, holy shit. It was part of my freshman. I was like, and I knew, like, walking up, like, I mean, it's Ohio State, they always travel,
but still.
But you saw, like, a lot walking in. But I was like, you have that. But then I walked in, I was like, that entire section, the entire east side is red. And I couldn't even tell. And even, like, this, our section, when we're on the west side, like, it was,
it was bad.
Like our section, like I said, I kind of joked. I was like, I felt like in our section there was, like, six Purdue fans and three of them were me and your parents. there was one Purdue fan in front of us, but he had like six Ohio State buddies with him.
My mom was telling me about that guy. Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They're from South Bend, I found out. Well, I overheard them talking.
At least he's not a Notre Dame fan, I guess.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, thankfully, like, no one was talking to me. But I could hear it around. It was just like what like it was a 31 point game, like, yeah, like in terms of like a spread, like, would you like,
yeah,
don't talk trash to us.
Like, they're still hurt. Haunted, they're still haunted by their, you know, 20 Ross Age, they're I mean 2000 and
I did hear some, like, I overheard someone talking about like Rondell Moore,
John 18. Like,
when they showed some, they showed a highlight and they showed, I think it was a Don't Stop Believing thing, but they, yeah, showed Rondell Moore. And I heard some people going like, oh my God, to get him off.
Yeah.
The screen. Like, yeah, that is true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. They're still haunted, but
yeah. The worst part might be worse than 3 weeks.
I don't see how you can bring more fans than that.
Yeah. But I worry. The only thing
for an undefeated season, potentially.
I know, but it's also Thanksgiving week. I mean,
yeah.
On a Friday night, which is going to run into the IHSA state finals. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think IU will bring a lot more fans than we've ever seen them bring, but I don't know if it'll be as many as Ohio State. Because also, yeah, hopefully more Purdue fans don't sell their tickets to IU fans. But
they want a drone footage that says this is IU. That's probably what they want, with it just being red.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll see.
What honestly annoys me is if you on the this is off topic, but on the ESPN app, when you like go to a game and like it shows, if you scroll to the bottom, it tells you like where the game was played or it's going to be played. For Purdue's Ross State, it's got a picture of like an Ohio State or Nebraska game from like 2014 because it's just all red. I'm like, why that picture?
Yeah,
why are you thinking? It's not been that bad. We've had some good years since then.
Yep.
So. We've had a few good years only though. Anyway, let's preview this great upcoming game, West Coast trip.
Yeah, Seattle, Washington, 7:00 Eastern Standard Time, FS1. Let's see what the spread's up to now. Top 25 because they're not ranked anymore. They lost to Wisconsin, 16.5.
Did you know? I think Wisconsin's punter had the most passing yards that game.
Yeah, it was brutal. I watched a decent amount of that game. Danny O'Neill went out, got carted off. Their one kid came in, a true freshman. He was a runner, running only quarterback. And then their other guy, who's supposed to be at one time, he finally completed a pass right before halftime for 8 yards. The whole crowd started cheering, and they still found a way to win. So, good win for Fickell. Bad loss for Fish and his D coordinator, Ryan Walters, that they did not show on TV near as often as they usually do. They will show him a bunch. So if you want to play a drinking game on Saturday, take a drink every time they show Ryan Walters.
Blackout by halftime.
Yeah, Purdue, like I said, all time is it's 2-7 against Washington football and one tie. So, but first time they've hooked up since the 2002 Sun Bowl. It's been a long time. I haven't watched Washington too much this year, though. I think they're out of playoff consideration now after that loss the other night.
Oh yeah,
so they're going to be pissed off.
And I just looked the CFP rankings. They're not in CFP.
Yeah, they're not.
They were in the AP, but they're not in the CFP.
Okay. So yeah, I guess we can get right into it with we got to go over Big Ten games first. I'm an idiot.
What's the spread?
16.5.
Okay.
But Friday night, Minnesota travels to number 8 Oregon, who's 25.5 point favorites.
Who pulled one out on Saturday.
That was impressive. The way they got that done was impressive in the elements, I thought, against a good defense. I think Oregon covers. I think they smacked so Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think the boat's sinking on this one.
Yep. Wisconsin coming off a big win. Now they travel to number 2 Indiana, who's a 29.5 point favorite.
Oh, my God.
Wisconsin's been playing better. I mean, they even played better against Oregon in a loss.
Yeah.
And I think the announcement of Fickell maybe gave the guys some confidence, but they're not winning again. They might cover that spread. That's a big spread. They might cover that, but they're not winning.
Russell Wilson ain't walking through that door. Rondé ain't walking through that door.
I don't know if Russell Wilson's better than anything they got on the roster. Do you see that guy against the Bears? He needs to retire.
I'm talking to Russell Wilson back in the day, not that Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson now needs to retire. He looks
they would need their Bortolini and JT. they would need that entire 2018 team.
That's fair.
They walk through that door. Indiana does cover this.
Okay.
I think they cover. Yeah.
It is senior day. So Number 18, Michigan, 12.5-point favorites at Northwestern.
This is Fox Big Noon, too.
Yeah, I know.
It is?
Yeah. It is, because it's at Wrigley.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right. Right. That's you're right. Right. You're right. Yeah, man. Michigan covers this.
I think they cover.
Yep.
Your boy Loxley not doing so hot at Maryland. 4-5 at 6-3 Illinois. He's a 14.5-point favorite. I got Illinois easily. I watched some of that Maryland-Rutgers game. Maryland has lost it.
Yeah, they had like that like play to start the game, and I was like, okay, maybe they. And then I
don't believe in. Give me Loxley.
I know you love that guy. this should be a good one. Number 21 Iowa at number 17 USC. Who's a 6.5-point favorite?
Iowa's good on defense. Yeah.
It's not good. USC's good on offense. Like it's just opposites of what they're good at. I like USC.
I'll take USC. I'm gonna say they don't cover. It's gonna be a close one, like three.
I'm taking Iowa. Okay. Oregon only won because Dante Moore threw a NFL pass there on that last drive.
USC's got a pretty good quarterback.
Yes.
And receivers.
Yes.
But if I would just had a quarterback, like they could have said that for the 15 years in a row, though. But my gosh, their defense and special teams are always so good. It's got to drive their fans nuts.
Even if they had an NFL running back, like the true Sean Green.
Sean Green, yeah.
Because Caleb Johnson, I know, was good, but he's not Sean Green and stuff like that. I know they've had tight ends, but if they had an NFL back, they would literally tear teams apart.
Yeah. Penn State 7.5-point favorites at Michigan State. Both teams 3-6 here. I like Penn State. That's a 3:30 game.
Is this the CBS
game?
Yeah, yeah, I like Penn State because mostly because
they're more talented. But
stick a fork in Jonathan Smith's tenure there too.
Yeah, I think you're right. He might go back to Oregon State.
Go back to Oregon State.
Do they want him back?
I don't know. They're lifeless right now. Sad word of their best win, like probably last 5 years.
Well, they had to go search for him.
Yeah.
Have to go search for opponents.
Not sorry next year, right? That's when the Pac-12
correct. Expands. Yeah, that's when like Boise State, San Diego State, all them.
Yeah. Number one, Ohio State's 32.5-point favorites at home against UCLA. NBC night game.
God help UCLA.
Yep.
Nico's going to have flashbacks to the playoff last year.
Yep. Absolutely will.
It's going to be worse because he's not going to have time to throw.
Yeah.
That's true.
In a few top 25 matchups. Friday night, ESPN, 4-5 Clemson travels a 7-2 number 20 Louisville, who's a 2.5-point favorite.
It's Jeff Brom special last week where they dropped one. Really was. Cal.
You got.
I didn't realize Clemson was 4-5. I did not think they were 4-5. Good Lord.
Eric Lee predicted them to win the national championship at the start of the year.
Yep.
Bad.
I think Dabo's probably going to step down.
Do you?
I do.
Who are you taking this game?
Does he want to be an OC at a Big Ten school?
I think Dabo steps away for a year. It's give me Brom. He's going to bounce back. Brom and company.
I'm taking Clemson, and the Louisville fan base just exploded. They were exploding the other night on social media. All I typed in was Jeff Brom, and there's a lot of them that one of them gone. I'm like, you guys are dumb.
I'd take him back.
He can't bring Greg with him.
keep him in the basement.
6-3 Arizona at 7-2, number 25 Cincinnati, who's a 6.5-point favorite.
Cincinnati's 25. Do you say it's 25?
Yeah, number 25.
Okay,
Give me the cats of the bear variety.
Yep, I agree.
Satterfield's team. I'm going Bearcats.
Number 9, Notre Dame, 11.5-point favorites at number 22, Pittsburgh. Narduzzi's College game day comments, game.
Narduzzi's comments were...
I didn't hear it. What did the idiot
he
say?
He said something about... They asked him... I can't remember what the question was, but he said something to the... I didn't actually watch. I just read the clip, but it was like... He basically said, like, we could lose by 100. This game doesn't matter because it's not an ACC game. He's more worried about the next.
Good job, Pat, you moron.
It's like, an idiot. What are you doing, dude? I think Notre Dame rolls.
I think Notre Dame wins, too. They're pretty focused.
I think this is probably Jeremiah Love might have a Heisman moment in this game.
He's good. He's the best Notre Dame running back.
He's incredible.
I've seen in my lifetime.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about my dad's like, I can't say my lifetime because I've seen some good ones. I'm like, yeah, Jerome Bettis, Ricky Waters, start naming them off. My dad's like, they're in the same backfield. I was like, oh my God. I wonder why they won the title that year.
Wait, that's game day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Pat McAfee's going home to Pittsburgh.
Oh my God.
I mean, wonder what he's going to do.
I mean, I'm glad they haven't, like, they're not doing another SEC game, but, like, the fact you've got Oklahoma, Bama, like, come on.
There's another.
You have Georgia, Texas, but they've already been to Georgia.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, let's predict both those games. Oklahoma, number 11 at number 4, Alabama, who's a 6.5-point favorite.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. Give me Bama.
And number
10, also forgot Jamarcus Shepherd was still there. I totally forgot about him.
You know, I just learned Aaron Hodges is at Alabama. Remember that guy? Are
you serious?
He went from Purdue to TCU to Washington, and he followed the board to Alabama. Say what you want about the guy, but he's pretty good at what he does.
Yeah. Give me the Tide.
Do you think Ty Simpson lost this Heisman last Saturday against LSU?
I just think there's other guys. I think Sayin, Mendoza, and Love are more in consideration than him.
Unless he, like, puts up stupid numbers on Saturday.
He could.
Yeah, but give me Bama on that one. And then give me Georgia on the other one.
Yeah, number 10, Texas at number 5, Georgia, 6.5-point favorites. You're going Arch and the boys, Lynch?
Yep.
All right. I'll take Bama or Georgia in that one, but I think it'll be a good game.
I wonder if Arch wants to be the Jets quarterback because that's probably what's going to happen.
I can't tell you who's going to be the number one pick because there's a lot of teams with two wins now. So,
well, if you look at like someone like.
No, I'm talking 27.
Yeah. Browns need to keep swinging at quarterback. They're never going to get it right. 6-3 TCU.
That won't allow him to go there.
Yeah, you're probably right. 6-3 TCU at number 12. 8-1 BYU is a 4.5-point favorite.
Give me Sonny Dykes. Oh. and TCU.
I like the Cougars at home, but that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they took a shellac in the Texas Tech last week.
So. Yeah, they did.
Yep. So, all right. Purdue at Washington. You know how it is. Score prediction, MVP, spicy bowl prediction.
I'll go first. I'm going to take Washington to cover 34-17. Player of the game. I'm not giving it. I do a pretty player of the game. I'm going to go Nunley. He had a good game. I think he follows up with another good one.
I wish he had another year of eligibility.
Man. Well, there's a whole thing with the whole JUCO thing. Like,
yeah. Maybe,
God, please get him back.
He's played well.
Spicy bold prediction. Oh, man. Ryan Brown throws a touchdown and talks smack to Walters on the sideline.
I was trying to think in my head today, how many players are playing significant minutes for us that played significant minutes for Walters? And I'm like Brown.
Maccabee.
Maccabee's out though.
Yeah, does he make the trip? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, some of the receivers.
Porath. Kick.
Yeah, Porath, yeah.
Can't even say McAllister because he's new. I mean, like Madden, but he's a reserve right now. You know, a lot of the wide receivers, reserves. Not a lot. Branch, mm-hmm. I guess.
Morsett, yeah.
Yeah, there's just not too many. Like, so I don't, like I kept thinking, you know, maybe guys get fired up to play against him.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be the opposite. He'll get his defense fired up against Purdue.
Yeah. Tonono was on the team, but, you know.
Yeah, not a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Lynch? I'll go Lynch on this one.
Okay. You said 34-14?
34-17.
34-17.
Yeah.
I think we're going to score with 17 points. I'm going to go 42-7.
42-7?
Washington. Yeah. It's going to be he's going to want revenge. He's going to want, it's more stick it to the athletic program. And his brother wants to probably make sure. And Jed also on this. Player of the game. I think I'll probably be on Washington side.
Well, duh.
it's gonna be probably Denzel Boston, their wide receiver.
He's good.
He's very good. Yeah. But I'm gonna pick a Purdue player. I'm gonna pick Luke Robe.
Well, is he the gunner?
No, he's a long snapper.
Oh my god.
He's gonna be the gunner next for Indiana. He's gonna find out who one of the gunners is, and he's gonna pick him for Indiana. Because every special team.
You're looking down your phone. I was like, he's trying to look up some random ass.
I like the gimmick. I like the gimmick. He is committed to the special teams gimmick. I can respect him.
And offensive line.
Luke Rope. Who the hell? I consider myself a pretty big Purdue fan. I can't name you four Purdue long snappers ever in the history of Purdue. So Jesse Smith when I was manager, but that was about the only one I could think of.
Well, he's going to have a great, you know, long snap on
What numbers he wears so I can look out for him when I'm watching on TV?
I think it's 47 for some reason.
Oh, that sounds like a long snapper number. Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I just – he's going to have a lot of opportunities to snap the ball to McAllister is what I'm trying to get at.
All right.
So play it, spicy bowl prediction. He's going to snap one over McAllister's head, though.
Oh, that's great. So you're picking up, how the hell can he be your player of the game if he snaps it over? The one thing a long snapper can't do.
Okay, fine. Ryan Brown takes a safety because that's probably going to happen.
All right. Well, I think that long snapper will be snapping to. For Spencer Porath, field goals and extra points more than Washington, because my spicy bowl prediction is Purdue pulls off the upset Saturday. I don't know what's in this. I am feeling weirdly good about this game. Don't know why. Purdue wins 24-21.
Wow.
You don't even cover the – so you're going to say we're under what the Vegas is predicting, because I think they're at 52.5.
24-21, and that's how the bad juju Ryan Walters – like he can't even do anything good against Purdue. Like
he overthinks it. He overthinks it. He tries to do too much. Yeah.
Bad juju.
I think he's just going to flat out just blitz this all line, and they're not going to be able to block.
Hit a few good big plays.
They have better corners than our wide receivers.
Hey, this isn't Ohio State. This isn't Indiana. Not even Michigan. They're good. They literally
played in the national championship 2 years ago.
Whole different team. Whole different coaching staff. They had Michael Penix Jr. who looked like dog water against the Colts.
I was going to say, I think Denman, is it Demon Williams? Yeah. I think it's Demon Williams.
He's good.
He's young.
Yeah, he's good.
But they also had Roma Dudze, who I thought made Pettis look good.
That's right. They did.
They had Pettis, too. One of the Pettises.
The younger one, not the older one.
But, yeah. I'm drinking some kind of weird Kool-Aid over here. I told you I'm going spicy bold. Very spicy bold. Player of the game.
Luke Rowe.
No. I'll go Tony Grimes. Big interception of Tony. So I want to get a Big Ten road win for multiple reasons. I want to win a Big Ten game, and I want to get a Big Ten road win. We haven't done that in a long time. So and everybody shut this podcast off by now. If they've been listening to this long, God bless them. But I just made them probably unsubscribe from our podcast. But it's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
No, we go deep in the roster. No one in this podcast probably knew Luke Rowe before I just said.
You didn't either until you looked him up.
I looked him up actually before. I was actually.
I believe you. I totally believe you did that. Oh, I like the commitment. All right. Well, let's pay some bills, shall we? Let's talk about where you can get some great looking food. About said merch. That's our next read. Great looking food. Great tasting food. Great smelling food. That is Mad Mushroom. Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, who's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan, Aaron, or myself visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which their pizza of the month for November is the Peppa's and Piggy. It's their traditional pizza sauce topped with classic and cup and char pepperonis, bacon, sweet pepperdew peppers, mozzarella cheese, and finished with herbs and spices, served with a side of crushed red pepper. So you can get that pizza and much more, and any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use coupon code BREAK5, B-R-E-A-K, all caps 5, online at madmushroom.com to get $5 off any order over $20. Mad Mushroom, feed your head. So great spot to watch the game Saturday night if you're looking for a place to watch it, or if you know you're watching from the comfort of your own home, order some Mad Mushroom online. You're going to order over $20. Don't tell yourself you're not, because you're going to, whether you get pizza, grinders, wings, all the above, cheese sticks, of course. So use that coupon code BREAK5. Save yourself some money in this economy we're in. So feed your head while you're at it. And now, where can we get some good-looking merch, Webby? I'm in need of some Purdue merch. Yeah. It's about Christmas time.
We got a Pete, if you can see it, boiler up. Pete lean against the basketball.
Ooh, I like that. Is that new?
Yeah. I've had this for a while. Yeah, I just had to throw something on over. I was cold today. But yeah, the guy from the shop, if you're looking for Purdue merch or anything in state of Indiana related, they've got you covered. They started out, you know, within back in 2011. They've now got 3 retail locations across Indianapolis area. You've got 1 in Carmel, 1 in downtown Indy, 1 in Broad Ripple. So if you're in Indianapolis, stop on by. But if you can't, you need to shop online, go to the shopindy.com, use promo code BREAKDOWN, and you get free shipping off your entire order.
Can't go wrong with anything.
Can't go wrong
from the shop. And Michigan beat Wake Forest by 1 in overtime. So 85-84. So
yep.
Good game there.
They missed a layup at the end.
Ooh. Any final thoughts?
A couple.
All right. Okay, take it away.
All right. Luke was one of the Georgia transfers. He wears 46, not 47. So okay. I saw him out there. I thought it was 46. I mean, 47, it's 46.
I totally forgot we got the long snapper transfer from Georgia. Okay.
So my mea culpa on me, thought it was 47. My eyes deceived me there. Thought he'd be a great pick. Still is going to be a great pick this week. Second thing, I know we didn't cover this in basketball, but big game tonight, Creighton versus Gonzaga. Tip here in an hour.
And Illinois, Texas Tech, too.
Yep. So a couple big big games in November. And those are my only thoughts left.
Webby, anything?
Just get a win. That's all I really want. Just get a win on Thursday and, God, please, Saturday.
Get 3 wins. Get Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday would be ideal. But at least go 2-1. Yeah. So, well, let's boiler up, hammer down, stay healthy, beat the Crimson Tide, beat the Huskies, and beat the Zips.
Yes, sir.
Boiler up.
Boiler up.